Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to Triple Captain, episode 2 of Quarantine. Here we are again in very strange circumstances. But you know what? I think we keep this podcast going because, if anything, it's just good for my sanity to see you boys' face on my computer screen and chat to you every week more than anything. How are yous doing?
Yeah, good, good. Feeling much more positive this week, despite the kind of new draconian measures that have been introduced. It's an odd one, isn't it? I mean, we've kind of, my fiance's had a disappointing news with her tour being cancelled, and lots of bad news at the moment for our industry, for self-employed people, and TV and films all been stopped. So there's no opportunities at the moment to act for me. Luckily, I'm still teaching because they've moved the teaching online. So I'm going to be giving that a go today. I don't know how you can teach acting online, but I'm going to give it a good go. So yeah, just kind of staying positive and hoping that the government come up with something this week to help the self-employed. Yeah. But it's dark times, isn't it? Really, it is, and it's difficult to stay positive, but I'm managing it so far.
That's good. I mean, it's so strange. So is Daisy just like at home at the moment, just kind of like trying to fill her time with whatever she can?
Yeah, we're both at home, yeah. And she's just had an idea to get her friends to teach her their signature dish. Because when she had a bit of time before, she created a company called Dining with Daisy and did a few supper clubs in between acting jobs, and kind of had a website with recipes on and stuff like that. So she's going to be doing some Instagram lives with friends who are going to teach her to cook a dish that they're like, you know, favorite dish to cook.
Oh my god, that's such a good idea. I mean, all I've had over the past like week is jacket potato and tuna, because that's all I've had in the cupboards. That's all that's been going down my gullet.
Get involved. Yeah. You can teach her to cook jacket potato and tuna.
Yeah, I absolutely will. How are you, Ben? Are you all right?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks.
You're wearing a hat indoors, which is a very interesting look.
I am. It's because I've been headmaster. My girlfriend's got two kids, 11 and 6, so obviously they're at home. So kind of in the madness of, I've been waking up, and I do an early job anyway that starts at 7 a.m. But then they're up, got to get them ready, got to keep them in routine. So, you know, I am the headmaster, and they have been at school this morning in the dining room. And I haven't actually had time to have a shower yet, which is disgusting. But because Jem's still working in the morning, so she's not here. She's leaving the house at 4:30, back at about 11. So I've kind of, it's all just a bit mad, really.
Absolutely. I mean, do they call you Mr. Anderson?
If they don't, they get sent straight to detention.
Oh, sorry, sir. Sorry, sir.
No, actually, it's quite funny because the lad's 11, and he could not be less interested in doing any sort of work right now. But no, yeah, it's as you know, boys, as you said, Luke, it's for, I'm a freelancer. Sound Rebel is my little business. God, yeah. Hopefully the government do announce some measures this week for freelancers. But you know what? If there's any time for a cheeky plug, if you're bored at home, get to soundrebel.co.uk, check out some of our other podcasts. You know, it's just strange, isn't it? And you know, I just hope everyone's staying inside now. And I hope that message has finally got through to everybody. And I think, you know, as a podcast, we should reiterate, stay inside.
Yeah, mate, it's so bizarre, because I can't remember if I mentioned that on the last podcast, but my housemate is a nurse in Whitechapel in intensive care. So basically she's dealing with all the coronavirus patients who are like, you know, and
wow,
she's doing like 13, 14 hour shifts. I'm not seeing her at all. She's upstairs sleeping now because she's doing the night shifts as well. And the other night, it was like their first one. She'd just gone back in. And I thought, you know what, we'll get a takeaway from the Chinese around the corner. So we went and got a takeaway, and she got in, and she was like completely like red face. You could see like the marks on her face from where she was wearing like a mask. She sat down in the armchair and went to start eating her dinner, and she was like, Rich, I'm just so exhausted, I'm going to have to go straight to bed, and didn't even have the energy to eat her dinner. And like, that is day one of just, you know, months of work that are ahead of her. So the advice to stay indoors and just avoid people is helping out her, for one, and, you know, just keeping people out of those hospital beds. And I can just see how it's happening, like, you know, in front of my own eyes with the stories that she comes back and tells me. Yeah, she's just exhausted all the time. So anyone who's still taking this lightly has got the complete wrong mindset, I'm afraid.
Yeah, it really is. Just very, very tough times, I think, for everybody. But yeah, I mean, just fantastic work that the nurses and everyone at the NHS is doing right now. Of course, you know, as they always are. You just got to pray that it doesn't get too bad.
Yeah, 6,000 former health workers have come out of retirement to help the cause, which, you know, presumably most of those will be in their 50s, in their 60s, who, you know, getting close to that at-risk group. So you just got to give like a massive round of applause to those people who are putting themselves back in the firing line, even though they're technically one of the most vulnerable groups. But
well, actually, yeah. I saw an 85-year-old doctor in Italy going back to work.
Bloody hell.
Fair play. Fair play. It really shows, doesn't it? In times of need, humanity, people are fantastic. There's so many good things about society that you really start to see them, don't you, when you get into times like this. But yeah, I didn't realise it was so close to home for you, I'm going to be honest. Like, I really hope your housemate's all right.
Oh yeah, she'll be sound. I mean, she literally has like three layers of protective gear and face masks and like head masks and everything. So me going into Leicester Square still doing the radio show, I'm more at risk than she is just because she's so protected. Like, she'll be fine. It's just because she has to deal with it like on the front line that you can just see how like mentally and physically draining it is for her. But yeah, she'll be sound, I think. You know, this is what nurses love. They love looking after people. So this is just, you know, another day at the office for them, but with a different kind of storyline, I suppose. But should we talk about football?
Yes.
Let's talk about football. Let's talk about FPL very briefly, in kind of as succinct way as possible. The only thing we can do right now to our teams is make transfers.
and change strangely formations. Enough,
and change formations. Yeah, you can. Wild card is still available to play. I think the chips are still available to play. You'd be crazy if you played one of your chips. So, what are you two thinking in terms of transfers? Have you made any? Are you going to make any? Is there any point in making any right now? Like, what are your thoughts on it?
To be honest, I've probably not opened the FPL app on my phone in at least 10 days. I just haven't looked at it because there's no planning that you can do. I remember 2 weeks ago, the good old days, I was planning on doing a wild card for the next game week. And I think I'm quite fortunate in terms of FPL that I didn't pull the trigger on the old wild card, unlike somebody else on this podcast.
Yeah, that was me. That was me. Fooled it after that 4-0 Villa defeat to Leicester. I was so down the dumps that I pulled the trigger on my wild card just to try and cheer me up a bit. And then everything gets cancelled. And actually, if you're not playing your transfers, just from a game perspective, you probably should be. Like, if you've got players in your team that you want to get out, like, I've wildcarded. I'm really happy with the players that I got out because they weren't performing. And, you know, if the fixtures had been going ahead of normal, I think I've got a pretty solid team now in terms of my wildcard team. But I could have done that over these few weeks. Just transfer one out, you get a free transfer again, transfer another one in, transfer another one, transfer another
one. Just one at a time. You could have done it. So who have you brought in? What's your wildcard team now? This is weird though, because there's no form to base anything off now, so I can't really tell.
Yeah.
You know, who's a good player or not?
Well, so my wildcard team, so the team I had before, it's weird looking back at game week 29 when there are actually points attached to each player. But I had Henderson in goal from Sheffield United, Soyuncu, Van Dijk, Alexander-Arnold, Madison, Salah, Hayden from Newcastle, Fernandes, Calvert-Lewin, Giroud and Aubameyang. And also it was a week that De Bruyne was injured, so he's on the bench, kind of automatically subbed off. And also got Johnny Lundstrom sitting there on the bench with 12 points from game week 29. I wildcarded. I got rid of Soyuncu. I got rid of Virgil van Dijk. I got rid of Lundstrom at the back. Also, just from financial reasons, I got rid of Henderson, even though he's done really well for me. Bought in Pope and also Darlow. I bought in Darlow from Newcastle because the Newcastle keeper went off injured. Yeah, and it's looking like he was going to get a few games. But no, I bought in, I got rid of Madison, sorry. I got rid of Hayden. And in the midfield, I strengthened that with Willian because I thought Chelsea were about to go on a run. Swapped Salah for Mane just for financial reasons. Up front, Vardy and Jimenez as opposed to Calvert-Lewin and Giroud. You know, it looked great, but you know, I did probably make quite a lot of changes. But with all this time that we've currently got, I probably could have done one a week and ended up with that exact same team by the time we get back to football.
You probably could have. I wonder what the first fixture is going to be when the football does come back, because that's probably going to be one of the most watched Premier League games in history when it does come back. Like, it'll be a global event. Like, it'll be like the World Cup final. It's like football's back after all this time away. And think of the pressure on FPL for that one game. Everyone's going to be so excited. It's going to be like the first weekend of the season again, but everyone's excited watching Brighton versus Bournemouth or whatever the hell it is.
Are you making transfers, Luke?
No, I haven't at the moment. I just don't really see the point. I mean, the thing is, like, I'd imagine the fixtures are going to stay in the same order if they even do complete the season. But it just, like you say, Rich, all form goes out the window. So I think, what's the point in bringing players in? I mean, I might bring in Bruno Fernandes because I think he's probably the most standout option that you'd imagine he's just going to pick up where he left off and continue his form.
Yeah.
Apart from him, it's like they're all having such a break. It's basically going to be reset, isn't it? It's going to be like a new season starts again.
Yeah,
it really is. Anybody in your team, you might take someone out and they might come back absolutely firing. So I just think, is there any point in making changes when I've got nothing to base it on? I've only got form of the last game week. We don't know how the fixtures are going to be set out. We don't know who's going to have double game weeks, blank game weeks, if indeed that happens. We don't know about the cup competitions. So it almost seems pointless to me to make changes right now.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, there was. It's going to be interesting to see what footballers come back with the right kind of mental state as well. I was seeing a video on TalkSport before, and it was all right, it's not in the Premier League, but it was Tom Kearney, the Fulham captain, and he was just talking
yeah,
about,
I heard that.
Yeah, just how he's got no routine anymore, and he just doesn't know what he's doing on a day-to-day basis. I mean, from one point, you're a grown man, you can look after yourself, but there's going to be some footballers who just haven't got any clue what to do because football and the routine of, you know, eating the right thing, going to training, going to the gym, you know, that sort of thing. It's just going to be a routine for them. And, you know, the real pros are going to be able to deal with the situation now, the mentally tough ones. And then there's others who just aren't going to be able to hack it at all, like Tom Kearney, by the sound of things. So, you know, like you say, form is just completely refreshed almost for the start of the season. It's going to take so long for some players to get back into the swing. And if they have to finish this season as well, you know, if you're playing for, like, Norwich or West Ham or Villa or something like that, and you know you've had all this time off, and now you've got to come back and fight for survival once again. Like, where do you even like reset mentally for that sort of battle?
Yeah, I mean, the lack of match fitness is going to be astounding, isn't it? Because there's no games going on, there's no training going on together. Everybody's, you know, you shouldn't be outside in more than groups of two now. So how can you train? Like, obviously, you'll be able to train alone. The players will be able to train alone, but it's just not going to be the same. It's not the same intensity. It's not the same, you know, you can't copy the conditions of a match, of a Premier League match. So to start making transfers to my team just doesn't really make any sense. And also my heart's kind of not really in it at the moment. It's just like, well, what's the point in doing this right now when there's no football going on? But yeah, it all seems very odd. And it's going to be interesting what official FPL actually do, because at the moment they're carrying on with, this is the game week 31, this is game week 32, this is game week 33. Everyone's going to score 0 points, but we're still going to classify them as game week 32, game week 33, because the cup is still going.
Oh, yeah, the cup.
And which brings me on to the zombie team update. I mean, it's mad, isn't it? We're talking like this, and we've actually only missed 1 week of football. This is the second week of football.
You're joking me.
That we're missing. It's only been one weekend of football that we've missed, hasn't it?
Feels like a lot longer
than that.
Pretty sure.
It's been two now, hasn't it? Yeah. Two. Oh, no, it was international break this weekend, I think. So Club football has been 1 week, yeah.
Feels like an eternity.
Yeah, I don't know, but the zombies anyway. Game week 30, I was playing against someone called Teddy Swigno. It was 0-0, and there was a virtual coin toss, and Luke Jurdy's The Walking Dead went through to the next round.
Yes, he's in.
on a virtual coin toss. They're through to game week 31 of the cup. So now it's all about luck from here on in for the Zombies to see if they can maintain this incredible cup run.
If you win this cup, can we please book an open top bus? Obviously, we'll be more than 2 metres apart, but I want to be there for you parading your FPL cup around Liverpool.
It'd be crazy. If I continue to win on a virtual coin toss, it'll be quite mad, won't it, really?
That is what we need to bring a smile to the nation.
It's odd, really. I don't understand why they've just not postponed everything as well. Like, it's hardly fair for teams that have gone that far in the cup since game week 17 to be then decided on a coin toss. I don't understand why they don't just postpone everything right now and go, no one can make transfers, no one can do anything. We'll resume when the Premier League resumes, and we'll just adjust the game weeks accordingly. Otherwise, at the moment, all of the fixtures are going to be crammed into game week 36, 37 and 38. Which is just nuts.
Absolutely bonkers. I'm just having a look at Callum Hudson-Odoi, who's obviously been diagnosed with coronavirus. Apparently he's unavailable next weekend because of a hamstring injury. I don't think you got that one right there, FPL.
Follow Triple Captain on Twitter and Instagram at Triple Captain 3.
So that's kind of it for the FPL chat for now, isn't it?
What did we say?
We were going to go on to discuss your tweet, which was four players that mean a lot to you.
Yeah. So basically, I got tagged in something by a lad who I know through radio, and literally, because I'm spending pretty much all my waking hours just on Twitter, which is probably one of the main reasons I'm going slightly insane. So I'm just getting tagged in all sorts of stuff. And it's basically a tweet just saying, these are four footballers that mean a lot to me. Tagging in four other people, who are the four players that mean so much to you? So I tagged you two boys in it as well and thought, you know what, we could discuss this on the podcast as well. But yeah, do you want to hear my four players? Are we going to discuss our four players?
Absolutely.
Yeah, this could be quite good for Twitter, like if we put this out on a tweet as well and we can get some listener opinions for the next podcast we do next week maybe. But yeah, so Mike, the four players that I picked, Tim Cahill. Just because he's my all-time favourite Everton player. I can't describe how much I love Tim Cahill. He's just, one, he's an absolute, like, he just kicks players in the heels, uses elbows for everything. But it just used to amaze me because we used to play, I remember there was always like a battle between Cahill and Vidic, whether it was Australia v Serbia or Everton v Man United. But Vidic was obviously like an iconic Manchester United defender, and he was a fearsome bloke, wasn't he? But Tim Cahill, who was like 3 or 4 inches shorter than him, would always have a proper battle with him every game. And I just like the idea of like the underdog, the little guy, battering this Goliath of a defender. And it was so strange, the amount of goals that you see Cahill score. He's gone up with Vidic and beaten Vidic in the air to the ball, because Cahill's whole thing was that he could jump higher than anybody else. And I think it was up until about 2 years ago, he had the most header goals in the Premier League until 38-year-old Peter Crouch or whatever it was overtook him. So Tim Cahill, for one, is in there. Two, Stephen Naismith, just because he's the most underrated Everton player. I remember we played Chelsea at home one weekend and I think we started, I think it would have been Kevin Morales ahead of him or something like that. And everyone's like, why is he starting Morales ahead of Stephen Naismith? And Naismith came on about 20 minutes into the game. He scored a perfect hat-trick against Chelsea after coming on as a sub. And I was just like, Stephen Naismith, what an absolute lad. He was one of them footballers who just like doesn't stop. He just continues to run and put in tackles all over the place. Quality player. And he does a lot of good stuff for Everton in the community and loads of homeless charities. I've just seen that he's donating 50% of his weekly wage from Hearts to charities around Edinburgh whilst all this coronavirus stuff's going on.
That's great.
Up there. Third one was Leighton Baines. Just because I think he's the coolest footballer of the last 20 years. He's best mates with Miles Kane and Alex Turner, which is just cool to begin with. He plays guitar, and I just got a lot of time for his free kicks and his penalty record as well. And I think he's been playing for Everton now for about 12 years. So, you know, he's absolute quality footballer. Either now, when he's like 36, he's not quite got the legs, but you can see he's still got that unreal like technical ability. It was just a shame when he played for England, because Ashley Cole was always ahead of him, who was a quality defender. I think he would have got many more England caps. And my last one was Gary Speed, who he didn't play that much for Everton. I think he only had two or three seasons there. And obviously he tragically committed suicide, but in his death, that's kind of like brought football together more as like one, and it's brought like men's mental health and sort of stuff to the forefront in sport quite a lot more. So he's a little bit of a legend indirectly for that sort of thing. So yeah, they're the four players that mean most to me. Which one of you two wants to go next?
Go on, Luke.
Good reasons there. Good reasons, Rich. I enjoyed listening to that. Do you think Leighton Baines, peak Leighton Baines, would get into the current England squad as left back?
Who's the left back choice at the moment?
Yeah, it's got to be better. It's Luke Shaw, is it?
I think it's Ben Chilwell, isn't it? Chilwell. Ben Chilwell, Luke Shaw.
I think Chilwell's quite similar.
There at left back at the moment?
Is Bertrand still getting in with a sniff?
No. I don't know. I don't think so.
I can't even remember the last.
But
time
yeah, I mean, you'd say he would, wouldn't you? I think Leighton Baines in his peak would get in ahead of Chilwell.
Yeah, I think so. I think Baines has got the most assists in Premier League history as well. So you know he's doing
for a
all
left
right
back.
Here. For a defender, yeah. And yeah, he's just a quality footballer. His left foot is just like a wand. It is insane. We used to have Baines whipping it into Cahill, Yakubu, Fellaini, just big lads. And we used to score so many goals. And we used to get European football so regularly. And now we're just a mid-table average team. Luca Dean's great and everything, but you know, back in the day, you'd have had Leighton Baines in your fantasy team without any hesitation.
I was just about to say that he used to be one of the best picks in FPL. I think he was about 7.5 million at one stage. He was up there with your Andy Robertson and Trent Alexander-Arnold of today.
Yeah.
Because he was on penalties, wasn't he? And set pieces and corners and so he always had that chance of attacking return. So he was a standout FPL option back in the day.
Yeah, top Benzie.
Yeah, he was brilliant. Mine were obviously all United players. Paul Scholes was my first one, simply because I just think he is one of the greatest midfielders ever, if not the greatest midfielder ever. He was the first person that popped into my head. Just the skill that he had and the space that he would create for himself on the football pitch was out of this world. You know, Fergie bringing him back out of retirement for that season because basically we didn't have any midfielders, and also it's Scholesy, you know. And I just cannot understand. I genuinely think England would have stood a better chance of winning one of the major trophies if Scholes had been centre midfield rather than trying to fit Gerrard and Lampard into those spots when they clearly couldn't play together. Like, I'm not taking anything away from Gerrard and Lampard. They were fantastic footballers, but we all knew that they couldn't play together in centre midfield. But Scholesy got put out to the left wing, and I feel like if there was and that's because of how good quality he was.
Yeah, that's such a waste, like, isn't it? Sticking him out on
such a waste.
Line. How could we not get a midfield three of Lampard, Gerrard, and Scholes working?
I know.
I remember
because
at one point,
we were all obsessed with 4-4-2 back then, weren't we?
Yeah,
it was all 4-4-2. So we had to have a left winger.
Yeah, and Gareth Barry was integral to the England side. And he was taking up the spot of either Scholes, Gerrard or Lampard.
Yeah, and wing backs weren't really a thing either, were they? No. So it wasn't like you couldn't play Gary Neville as a right wing back.
Imagine. He would be blowing after 20 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. You'd need you'd need wing backs and then play a midfield three of Gerrard, Lampard and Scholes. It's a travesty that he was put out to the left wing and those two kept him out of the team. I'm sorry, but he was so good, and he was also just so fun to watch him try and tackle.
Oh yeah, he was dirty, wasn't he?
Every time he went in for a slide tackle, it was just like, oh God, Scholesy. So yeah, he was one of my all time favourites. He was my first choice. Second choice was Dwight York. Now, I absolutely loved Dwight York when he came to Man United. And I think it was Ben is celebrating in the background because obviously he used to play for Villa and that's who we signed him from. He was such a joy to watch. He always had a smile on his face. He was always laughing and joking, and he was class. Him and Cole up front were just superb. And growing up, he was one of my heroes. I had his name on the back of my shirt, and I just thought he was so cool. I thought he was such a, and I liked the fact he had a bit of a playboy lifestyle, and you know, rubbed Fergie up the wrong way a little bit, but he was still just so good for United.
He was married to Jordan, wasn't he? Like when she was like. Actually, attractive.
Yeah, he's Harvey's dad. Yeah, he's Harvey's dad. I mean, off the pitch, yeah, you'd perhaps question his antics, but on the pitch, he was just he was so good. You can't argue that York and Cole. There's not much better. I mean, maybe Henry and Bergkamp would perhaps beat York and Cole, but in terms of strike partnerships in the Premier League, there's not much better than York and Cole.
The class of 92's strike force.
They were around that. They were the
treble winning side.
Yes, they were. It was those two and Solskjaer and Sheringham as backups. I mean, can you get a better four than that in
it's
a team?
Good.
I mean, that's four strikers, two all ready to start and all ready to score goals. Do you like Yorkie as well, Ben?
He is number one on my list. 232 appearances for Aston Villa. He's my kind of nostalgic choice because when I was getting into football, Dwight York was just banging him in. Like, he did 9 seasons at Villa, I think. And he lived, my granddad used to run a newsagent's, and you say about his off the field antics. Granddad Dave just says he was the nicest man. He had all the time in the world for him. But yeah, for me, that's my kind of nostalgic choice because he was, like you say, just to watch. Wonderful.
Fair enough.
I loved him. I really did love him.
Who are your other two?
So third was Eric Cantona, for obvious reasons. I mean, despite kind of being
Cronenberg adverts, that's why, yeah.
Despite almost being too young to really appreciate him, is the reason that he means something to me is because it's my earliest memory of football was when I was 5 years old watching the 95 FA Cup final between United and Liverpool and Cantona scoring the winning goal. So he is kind of etched into my earliest memory of football. And I used to have collections of VHS videotapes of United's treble winning season and all that and the time before that as well when Cantona was around, and he's just an enigma, isn't he? I mean, retiring early and just the skill
actor,
that he had, and he's been an actor, and his quotes. I mean, the infamous moment where he kicked the Crystal Palace fan in the head. I mean, just an insane insane player.
What was he scored where he like chipped the goalkeeper, where he just kind of like stood there and watched it go in? Who was that?
Yeah, it was against Sunderland. Yeah, it's that iconic moment where he just stands there.
It's like Collis popped.
I mean, what? Yeah, it's so just the audacity of him. And I've always loved players like I've always loved sportsmen that are cocky as long as they can back it up.
Yeah,
I think anybody that goes in there and goes, I'm the best, and then they actually are the best is very, very impressive beings. So I've always loved Zlatan and, you know. That cockiness is amazing. Henry as well, you know, how kind of they just have just this confidence about them, which is so, so nice to watch. Cantona. And the final one was Nemanja Vidic.
Oh, Nemanja.
I loved him. I loved him as a defender. He was an absolute rock at the back. And I think Rio Ferdinand was also an amazing defender. But I think without Vidic by his side, he wouldn't have been as successful at United. That pairing of Ferdinand and Vidic was just so good. I mean, and Vidic, he'd always pop up and be a threat in the box.
Yeah, worth
pop
a goal
up with a header and worth a goal, and just defensively, he was out of this world.
He was like the tougher one out of the two of them, though, wasn't he? Like Ferdinand was seen as the more stylish one, and Vidic seemed as a bit more, you know, knuckled, should we say?
He was just, I just loved watching him as when I was younger, and loved watching him. When he scored, it was always that extra. You know when there's players that don't score very regularly, and then they score, and you're like, oh my god, Vidic has scored! It's Vidic has scored! It's just joyous to see that. Darren Fletcher was another one where if he popped up with a goal, it was just brilliant. So, yeah, Vidic was my fourth.
Yeah, that's a good four. That's a solid four. Have we got time for your three? I suppose you've got to go, Ben. So you've already said Dwight York has been justified. Who are the other three?
So Dwight York is my nostalgic Villa choice. I wanted to choose a Villa captain. And I was thinking back through, because Dwight York was never captain of Villa. Jack Grealish was kind of, you know, great player. Been there for a long time, come through the system. But I didn't go for him. Gareth Barry, most Premier League appearances. Has he still got that title, Gareth Barry?
I think so, yeah. Most yellow cards as well, I think.
Yeah, probably. A lot of them for Villa. But actually for me, the best captain I've seen in my lifetime for Villa was Stylian Petrov. Just a fantastic man, as well as a fantastic player. It was such a shame. There was a point where, because he was diagnosed with leukemia, and then, the club really rallied around him and brought everyone together, really. He's such a powerful figure at Villa. He did actually come back and train with us, I'm sure. I think he played a pre-season game after his illness. But we had, do you remember when Di Matteo was managing Villa? He didn't give him a contract. And, you know, everyone thought, he's the kind of man, you just, even if you don't play him, give him a contract because he's an absolute legend. But he, you know, captain choice, I think he's the greatest captain I've seen for Villa. I've also gone for another villain, Gareth Southgate. But... The reason is not because of what he was like as a player, because actually he was quite an unassuming player for Villa. I absolutely fell in love with him when he became England manager. I thought the way he handles himself, like honestly, ask Jem, she was kind of worried that if Gareth Southgate did come and knock on the door and said, Ben, run away with me, that I would have gone last summer. Because I really, honestly, I just thought, you know, obviously the fact that he was a Villa player for years helped, but, you know, I thought...
He was a centre-back, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
But he wasn't like a hard-as-nails kind of centre-back. He was a bit of a softly spoken centre-back.
He missed the famous penalty in Euro 96, didn't he? Against Germany in the semi-final.
Yeah, he did, in that grey kit. Horrible memories. Yeah. So I'm not sure if I can use him, because it's more as a manager for me rather than a player, because he was quite an unassuming player. But then for the fourth one, I thought I didn't want to go Villa. So I thought, what player who's never played for Villa would make my top four?
From the Premier League?
Yeah, from the Premier League, yeah.
That's a good question, actually. I'll have a think about which player, non-United, that I would pick.
And there is obviously a certain amount of nostalgia to this as well, but a fantastic player, a brilliant man, a good sense of humour, as well as good with his gloves on. I've gone for David Seaman, because growing up, he was just always... Was there any time that he wasn't in the... Like, were there any... He just played every single game for England, didn't he? Like, David James would jump in. But it just...
Say fans.
There with his slick back hair and his moustache, looking like he's about to jump into an RAF fighter any moment.
His Yorkshire accent and his ponytail.
Like, just... I remember him, I think it was Euro 96 as well, that bright yellow kit, do you remember? If I had to choose one player, in terms of, because I suppose the question is kind of, what do they mean to you? He just makes me, when you think back to that team, you think of Alan Shearer. Gazza was kind of, we didn't see Gazza in his prime, did we? But yeah, it's Seaman. Like, I think back to England when I was a kid, and the first person that pops into my head is David Seaman with his big bushy moustache. So he's my fourth.
Good choices. David Seaman, I never thought that one would come up. But you know what? Fair play. He's the happiest man ever, by the way, David Seaman. You ever see him like do interviews? He's always chuckling to himself about his old stories. Like, I remember back in the day at Arsenal. Oh, yeah, and he's from Rotherham, isn't he? So he's a proper like Yorkshire bloke.
Oh, yeah.
I think he does like carp fishing as well. He's so northern. He tries so hard.
Carp fishing with David Seaman. There you go. There's my next podcast.
That was great. I really enjoyed that chat. It's nice reminiscing on players that have had an effect on your life, isn't it? Especially because football does just mean so much and clouds so many of my memories are clouded by what was happening in football at that time. So that was a nice topic. I think we should keep up with those kind of topics and perhaps discuss players that from teams that we don't support that we really respect and admire next week.
Okay, yeah, we'll continue with this like four of kind of theme, do you reckon, over the next few weeks.
Yeah,
we can stick it out on Twitter as well and read out some answers from listeners as well, which would be quite good. Cool.
Triple Captain at soundrebel.co.uk. if you want to email us.
There it is.
You know, speaking of email, you know who we haven't heard from in ages, and I really hope he's still listening. Bill, over in America.
Bill, of course. Florida. Wasn't he something to do with medicine though? Is he going to be like super busy with coronavirus? Do you think
he might be? I can't remember what his exact title was, but yeah, he lives and works in New York.
Plastic surgeon or something like that.
Yeah. Something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Bill, get in touch, mate, if you're listening. It'd be nice to hear from you. Let's communicate a bit more during this time. It'd be really good to just send us a tweet or an email and give us an update on what you've been doing and how you've been feeling this non-football time. I think also it'd be good to come up with a little list of things that is to do with football that you can watch or play or read during this time. I mean, I know I'm really looking forward to watching The English Game on Netflix,
it's
which
great.
Has just come out about the...
Is really it? Worthwhile.
Excellent.
And it's the kind of thing you can watch with your girlfriend. It's written by Julian Fellowes.
Yes.
Did he write Downton Abbey?
Okay, great. Yes, I think he did.
Yeah, so it's basically Rich.
It's about the birth of football, yeah. Rich. Another recommendation that we've just watched, Tiger King on Netflix, documentary about keeping tigers and big cats as pets in America. It is insane. It's insane.
What's it called?
Yeah, watch it. It's called Tiger King.
Okay.
It's mental.
That sounds right on my
we'll discuss
street.
It. We'll discuss it next week.
Yeah, okay.
Let's discuss it next week. And yeah, so there you go. So watch the Tiger King and watch the English Game and we'll discuss those two next week as well, even though Tiger King's nothing to do with football. I'm sure we can digress a little bit.
You can get in there, definitely.
Yeah, nice one, boys. And thanks for listening, everybody. And yeah, keep in touch during this time. Stay safe, and we love you.
Oh, that was a nice ending.
You've been listening to Triple Captain from Sound Rebel.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Hi there, guys. My name is Charlie, and I am the host of the Big Pod Quiz. We are releasing an episode of Pod Quiz for you every day, Monday to Saturday, during the coronavirus crisis. Whether you are stuck inside, self-isolating, or still managing to get out into the real world, we will be providing you with a daily dose of Pod Quiz. And the highest scorers from each day will get a shout-out on the following day's episode. So please subscribe to the Big Pod Quiz now on your chosen podcast app so you never miss a round.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.